Well, that's evident, isn't it? Because you never see that in the TV movies today or wherever. It's a very rare thing. But the Father's love is very rare. You know, the thing that struck me too is not only how much the Father wanted the very best for Pamela, but you remember when she was disobedient. Even as perfect as he was and his standard and everything, well, he was ready to forgive her. Start fresh right where she was at. And even the friend, was it Stephanie, is that right? Jessica. Boy, you're watching better than I am. I should have made some notes. But even when Jessica, her friend, had really gotten in some very deep situation there, sin, the counsel that he gave Pamela for Jessica, that was right from the Word of God, wasn't it? Neither do I condemn you. You see, when we confess our sins to the Lord, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then He wants us to start right where we're at. And I think that's probably, for me, as I was listening, there goes the popcorn. For me, as I was listening, I was thinking, you know, even if your standard hasn't been where their standard was all your life, and maybe you're thinking, well, can't, it won't be my first kiss when I get married, but the way the Lord does is He starts right where you're at. And that's the nice thing about it, isn't it? For every one of us here, no matter what's happened in your life, this is where God starts. And He starts fresh, and He starts new. Those are just some of the reflections I was having as far as applying these things to my life. But, yeah, I was looking forward to seeing the kiss. Missed out on seeing that. But you know, something that will stick with me is the Father's love, the Father's forgiveness, and the Father's desire for the very best for His children. That's exactly what we're going to talk about tonight in the book of Romans, chapter 8. Look there, if you will. Special greetings to some friends from Waterloo. How you doing, Stephen? Nice to see you. Stephanos the Crowns. And name slipped my mind, but it's good to see you again. Hey, Matt, it's good to see you. All right, we're in Romans chapter 8. We're talking about how we're to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Really, the standard that we keep as a believer is to take one step at a time walking in the Spirit of God, because we're to not only walk in Him, but we're to live in Him. And as we learn about the Lord, we want to be more like Him. In fact, tonight if we would look in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 15, I'd like to read all the way through verse 25, please. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, please follow with me as I read. For it says, "For you did not receive the spirit of adoption again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." Verse 18. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And not only they, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, then we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." And we trust that we'll know the Lord's blessing just from the things we've read, and as we speak about them, let's consider them carefully, because we're going to be talking about the Father's love and His desire for us, the very best. Shall we pray? Our Father, as we look into Your Word once again tonight, we pray that our minds and our hearts might be open and attentive to Your Word. Father, guide us by Your Spirit into all truth once again, and help us to see personal applications along the way for us individually. And also we thank You for the testimony of this couple through the film that we watched. And Lord, help us to see not only the rarity of it, but see the beauty of Your love for us, Father, in wanting the very best. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I got three words I want you to think about tonight. The first word has to do with being sons or daughters, huios in the Greek. Second word has to do with being children. Technon is the word also in the Greek. And then the third word has to do with being heirs, like those who are going to be the inheritance that God has for us. The idea is to realize that we're not only sons and daughters of the Lord, God Most High, but we're also children of God by faith in His Son, and we're also heirs, joint heirs with Christ. Those are the three basic words, and then we're going to look at the hope. But the whole idea of the Spirit's work in this first section that we read has to do with being born of the Spirit of God. See, we've been talking about all the different things about the Spirit of God, how we're to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit, to be indwelt by the Spirit and led by the Spirit. Now we come to the idea of being born into God's family. Now, when we talk about being sons and daughters of the Lord, you notice in those very first verses, verse 15, he says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage." That's what we were looking at earlier today, you remember, how that we're free from sin, but not free unto ourselves, but free to serve the one who set us free. We don't have the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit, and notice, the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now, Abba, of course, is the Aramaic term that's used for father. It's the same in the Hebrew as well. Ab, just one syllable, is the name for father. I found something interesting as I was looking it up in Strong's Concordance. The very first word in the Hebrew as well as the Aramaic dictionary. The very first word, Ab, A-B. Now, I was thinking about it. If you were looking for help, who's the first person you would go to? Well, it should be your Heavenly Father. He's the first and only one you could ever go to and know that He was going to do the best for you. I guess while I know what the message was going to be tonight, that's why I was reflecting on the father's part in the film. Because she went to him first when she needed help. Even when she needed help for a friend, she went to her father, as far as biological. But the Heavenly Father is the first one we should go to. So by adoption, coming into God's family, the spirit of adoption causes us to cry out, Abba, Father. We go to the Father first. And it's the Spirit that teaches us to do that. Now, Abba being in the Aramaic and also in the Hebrew being Ab, not only do you have Abba in Swahili while we worked over in Africa, it was Baba. In fact, the Swahili Bible reads, by whom we cry out, Abba, Baba. Just switches the letters around, but really the same idea is there. And down south we call them Daddy. All right? That's Southern English, of course, for some of you. You're still working on that, maybe with a little bit of the accent. But realize that He, spiritually, is the one that we go to. And who teaches us that? Well, you don't just learn it from life, do you? But we learn it by the Spirit of God. You notice it's the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Wait a minute, I thought you had to be born again to be in God's family. Well, you do. We'll talk about that in a moment. But here we're talking about adoption coming into God's family. The idea is, of course, in the Jewish background, that a child's born to his parents or to her parents, but then at the age of 13, the Jewish family life is that you welcome the young lady or the young man into adulthood at the age of 13. We usually say 16 you can get your license, 18 you're an adult, and then you're responsible. It's different with the Jewish economy. With the family in the Jewish scene, 13 years old, you have the bar mitzvah. Now he becomes a son, and you have the bat mitzvah. Now she becomes a daughter, not just your child, but now a son and a daughter. And the idea is, now we come, not just as children, but now by adoption, we come and become sons and daughters of the Most High God. It brings us into all the relationship that we should have with our Heavenly Father. It also brings us into all the responsibilities, that now we're responsible not only to bear the family name, but to represent the family as a young man, an adult, or a young lady, a woman. One, a daughter of God, and the other, a son of God, bearing the family image, resemblance, responsibilities, and the representative. I wonder, when you think about being adopted into God's family, I wonder what it really means to say, now I'm responsible as a representative and taking all the responsibilities. Now I'm starting to look more like my Heavenly Father. You know, when I was growing up, I used to look at my dad's ears. They were the biggest ears I ever saw. And my dad's nose, I thought, man, what a nose on that man. And you know what I found out? As I got older, my ears started getting longer. And as I got older, my nose started getting bigger. I don't know what I'm going to be like when I have a glorified body. Maybe my ears will be shorter, my nose will be smaller. But whatever it's going to be, I realize I'm starting to look more like my dad than ever before. Now, when I was little, I didn't really know what they were talking about, but having our own children and looking at children when they're first born, you know what the big conversation is? She looks just like her mother. He looks just like his father. But the grandparents say, he just looks just like us, the grandparents. And we're all trying to figure out exactly who they look like. But as we get older, we start really starting to form and be more like dad or be more like mom. We start looking more like them. And the higher my hairline gets, the more I look like them too. But you know, the neat thing about it is, spiritually, as we grow and mature, the more we should be like our Heavenly Father. So the things that you notice about your Heavenly Father, eventually you'll start noticing them about your own life. You mean this can happen by adoption? Oh, absolutely. The influence even adoptive parents see in their children that they've adopted is amazing. The resemblance that many times we start taking on, even though our parents may be our parents by adoption. Think with me and give me a little bit of input, if you will. Anybody can answer these questions. But if you were to think about some of the characteristics of your Heavenly Father, what would be some of the characteristics you think, this is what God's like? Give me a couple, one or two here and there. Anyone? Yes, Jim. What is it? Long-suffering. Okay, we would call that patient. I'm glad that God is long-suffering and patient, aren't you? I mean, he really has eternity on his side. He can afford to be. Our lives are very short. We get impatient. But it's a great quality of the Heavenly Father to be long-suffering and patient. How about another quality, characteristic? Giving. He's a giving Father. In fact, it tells us that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness or shadow caused by turning. He's always going to give us the best. That's great, isn't it? If you ask for a fish, he's not going to give you a snake. If you ask for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. He gives good gifts, doesn't he? Thanks, Matt. Anyone else? Yes. You got it.
Very wise.
Very wise, isn't he? Yeah. He's the all-wise God, right? Yeah. And then, Stephen? He's forgiving. He's giving and forgiving. That means that you never have to be afraid to come to the Father to tell him what you've done wrong, just like our friend Pamela in the movie. Yes? He's loving. Whew. Boy, is that a relief or what? Huh? He's a loving Father. So glad for that. Yes, Bill? Immortal. He'll never cease being our Father, right? And that means we never cease being His son and daughter once we know Him. Yes. Kind. I tell you what. You know, if I didn't know the Father, I'd want to, wouldn't you? When you think of all these characteristics that we're hearing. Anyone else? These are great. Powerful. Boy, you know, you used to think Dad was the strongest one in the block. He could whoop anybody. And our Heavenly Father, He certainly is all-powerful, isn't He? Anyone else? Huh?
Merciful.
That's the most scriptural answer, even though they're all scriptural-based, you understand. But it tells us that we're to be merciful even as our Heavenly Father is merciful. Did you know that was right there in the Gospel of Luke? Yes. Anyone else? What is it? Prince of Peace? Yes, he really is the God of Peace or the Prince of Peace. Someone else, I saw a hand over this way?
Faithful.
Faithful. Okay, even when we're faithless, He remains faithful. Yes. The King of Kings, that's right. That's more of a title for the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you've seen the Lord, if you've seen me, He says, you've seen the Father. Exactly right. Anyone else? These are good. Yes.
Holy.
I was waiting for that one and holding out for it. Because God is holy. He's different than anyone else. There's no God like Him and no God besides Him. Yes. He's the Alpha and the Omega. That's more a title for the Lord Jesus. Yes. Anyone else? Of the Father. Yes. He's just. That's right. There's no unrighteousness in Him. He's always just. I was thinking also of one other characteristic. That's what I was going for. Yes?
Personal?
He's a personal Father, personal God. That's good. That's not it, but...
Gracious,
I'm glad He is, but that's still not it. There's a scripture verse I'm going for.
Jealous God?
That's exactly right, but that's not the one. There's another one. Yeah, we got long suffering.
Faith,
we got that one already. Yes.
Pardoning.
What is it?
Pardoning.
Pardoning God. That's true. Absolutely. Who is a pardoning God like thee? Yes. God is love. We got that one already. Got that one too. Oh, we got it. Stand up. All right. Tell us what it is. There's a mark of perfection. Perfect, right? He says, be ye perfect, even as your Heavenly Father is perfect. You mean we got a perfect Heavenly Father? But the shocker is, He tells us we're to be perfect too. So what does it mean? How could we ever be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect? Well, you know, God's perfection is the high standard. Fred, we are perfect
in Christ.
That's right. And not only do we have a positional perfection, but He wants us to be mature. The idea is He wants us to be like Him. Now, we're not there yet, are we, Fred?
No.
In God's sight, that's changing, isn't it? You know, even Pamela's father wanted the very best and the perfect way for her. But you see, the spirit of adoption causes us to cry out, Abba, Father, and all of the characteristics we see in the Father and His great care for us, He wants us to start being more like Him because we've been adopted into God's family. In other words, we're being brought into adulthood. And as we are, we start resembling and bearing the image of our Heavenly Father. We're going to be talking more about this tomorrow, so I don't want to labor it too much, but just realize He wants us to be like Him. Just, merciful, long-suffering, faithful, giving, forgiving, perfect. Well, we're not there yet, are we? But He wants us to be getting there. And so He said, I can't trust the angels to do this, and I can't trust Moses. I can't trust Abraham. I can't even trust fellow believers that we have in our life today. There's only one person I can trust, and that's God Himself. So He sent His Spirit to continue doing that work and to make us more like our Heavenly Father. And just like my ears are getting more like my dad's and my nose is getting more like his, I'm starting to look more like him here and here and all these things. You know what it shows me is I'm growing and maturing and I'm becoming more like my biological dad. I only trust that it's spiritually as I grow and go through all the changes of conformity that the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of adoption, is making me more like my Heavenly Father. And you know, you're changing to be more like Him too. And it may be that others notice it in you, or you may not notice it at all. But you can count on the caring love and affection of the Spirit of God to make you what He wants you to be. Not only that, but I'd like to give you another idea, because being sons and daughters have the idea of caring. The Father cares for you so much, He gave His Spirit to make you more like Him. But here's the next word. Not only sons and daughters, but remember the second word was children. And so this is what we see. If you'll notice in verse 16 of Romans chapter 8, He says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And so the 16th verse tells us about being children. Now, children come into the family not by adoption, but by birth. We're born of the Spirit with life from above into God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine. All because heaven came down and glory filled our soul. When we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we became children of God. He came to His own. His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power, or the right, to become the children of God, even to those who believe in His name. Children of God, born into His family. So some come in by the birth into God's family, and as they are born into God's family, they grow up to the point of adulthood as adopted sons and daughters. Both are operating for every believer in Christ. No matter what level we're at in our spiritual growth, both are in operation. But I was just thinking about the human families and some of the human families I know. I had a family at camp. We did a homeschoolers camp down in Georgia, a place called Dahlonega, Georgia, Camp Hope. Tornado came right through there, took out all the boys' dormitories. Now they got nice new dormitories. They were trying to plan all the work schedule, and the Lord said, "I'll take those out of there." Just put a tornado right through the center of it, and they were taken right out. Now the Lord's given them almost a brand new camp. It's amazing what the Lord does through camp life, isn't it? At this camp, one of the families came at Camp Hope, had two daughters. So we were singing some songs, getting everything started. I was trying to get to know some of the kids that were there for homeschoolers. And you know, these two girls, they were from the same family, had the same last name, looked so much alike. But they shocked me. They said, "I'm the biological daughter, and this daughter, she was adopted. She's my sister by adoption." Couldn't believe it. And the whole week, they were going at each other. One was saying, "I was born into my family." And the other one would say, "Yeah, Mom and Dad were stuck with you.
Oh.
But he chose me." But you know, the great thing about it in the family of God is that God has both operating in each one of our individual lives. We're born into God's family, and God also chose us by adoption. He wants us to be representative, really, of the family of God and representative of our Heavenly Father. So as children of God, how do we know we're children of God? Notice again in verse 16, He says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." How does He do that? Well, He bears witness. In other words, He gives testimony. The Spirit of God gives testimony. When I think about that, I just have to say, how does He do it? Is it that still small voice I heard about? Says, "You're in"? Or is it a vision that I might have seen that night I had pepperoni pizza and buffalo wings that are real buffalo wings? I mean, they don't have them down south, you know. They have Cajun, but here they got the real thing. What is it that the Spirit communicates with our spirit that we're children of God? Well, the Lord Jesus told us how the Spirit was going to speak. He said He won't speak on His own initiative. He won't speak of Himself. But He'll take the things of the Lord Jesus, show them unto us. You know, the things of the Lord Jesus are written right in black and white. And that's how the Spirit of God communicates, right through the Bible. Now, it's not that you take out a part of a verse and you say, oh, I think it means this, and come up with some outlandish thought. But rather, it's seeing the truth of the Word of God, that those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ have eternal life and have been brought into God's family, are born again by faith in the Lord Jesus. The Spirit of God uses that as a testimony, and He communicates it with what part of you? Look at verse 16 again. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Now, what part of you is the Spirit? Thought it was neat in the movie, too, when Pamela, to get my names mixed up, was little. Remember? She said, I've asked Jesus to come into my heart. And He said, where's your heart at? And she pointed right at it, okay? That was nice, wasn't it? So where's your spirit? You know, I know some missionaries in some of the Asian parts of the world that they don't say ask Christ into your heart. You know what they say? I'd like to have you invite Jesus into your throat. Well, that's different, isn't it? So other people said, I believed on the Lord Jesus with all my kidneys. You think, what is this? Well, even Paul said, with the bowels of tender mercies, you see, and the affections of Christ are the bowels of Christ. And you think, all these inward parts, where in the world is the Spirit? Well, the Spirit is that inner part of you that communes or communicates with God. Oftentimes, people get their soul and their spirit mixed up because it's a very fine dividing line. Only the Word of God is able to divide between soul and spirit, bone and marrow. In the same way, it's hard to know where the bone starts and the marrow starts. It must be true for the soul and the spirit. But I'll tell you, just in very brief, as basic explanation as I know, here I am a body, that's my physical part. My soul would be the seat of my emotions. That when I watched on the movie and his wife died, can't help but grip you a little bit. Well, maybe some of you macho guys, maybe it didn't bother you. But being married and having a wife, thinking how fortunate and blessed we are in family, can't help but grip you some. Well, that's the soul, the emotions. If that gets into control, then all you've got is an emotional fuzzy feeling. Talked to a lady the other day, scared me to death. When I was talking to her, she said, I knew it was the Lord. I said, really? How? And she said, made the hair on my arm stand up on end. I said, wait a minute now. We got to go by the Scripture. How does the Spirit control? And how does He communicate? Well, He communicates with that inner part of you, not given to emotionalism, but given to communicating with God, bearing witness from the Word of God with your spirit that He gives you a peace, that once you put your trust in Him, you belong to Him, and nothing can change that. Isn't that great? You see, the Father, He cares for us so much, He's given us the Spirit of adoption, making us sons and daughters of the Most High God, our Heavenly Father, but also the Spirit bearing witness. So you have not only caring, also bearing. And bearing witness that we are children of God. Do you know the inner witness? In other words, do you have a verse that you can say, I know I belong to the Lord. I've put my trust in Him. I've based it on this verse. And it might be a verse as well known as John 3:16. That God so loved, and in place of the world, you can put your name right there. That He so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son. That when you believed on Him, you shall not perish, but you shall have eternal life. Can you say that? If you can, it's the Spirit of God bearing witness with your spirit that you belong to Him. It's not just caring for His sons and daughters, bearing for the children. Remember the last word we said we were going to talk about tonight? Heirs. Not hairs, but heirs. I don't know how they pronounce that up north, but I know down in the Bahamas it's a very confusing thing. Because in the Bahamas, the words that we would pronounce, like hair, they would pronounce as air. A-I-R. And if we were talking about the air outside being really nice and cool, you know what they would say? Well, the hair is really nice outside, isn't it? It gets very confusing. Well, they not only do it with H's, but they also do it with W's and V's. And the wedding we just saw up there, he was giving them their wedding wows while we would be talking about their wedding vows. Communication is always interesting. First time Nancy and I went to the Bahamas, we turned on the kitchen sink. It was right after Hurricane Andrew came through. And all the water systems were all messed up. Turned on the kitchen sink, no water came out. Called up some of the brothers in the assembly, and we said, you know, we're here, we're happy to be here. We don't have any water in the kitchen, just wonder if there's something we're doing wrong. I said, we'll come right down. They came down, started taking pipes apart. And all of a sudden, water started shooting through the pipes. And Nancy said, we got water, we got water. What was wrong with it? You know what they said? Well, there was hair in the line. Nancy said, hair, yuck. How did hair get in the line? I said, shh, I'll tell you later. It wasn't hair. It was? All right, I think you caught it now, huh? Okay. So here we are talking about, what are we talking about? Hairs. But you know what I mean. Hairs. We have an inheritance is really what we mean. Just want to make sure we have that all cleared up. Because if I'm in the family of God as a son and daughter of the Most High God, and if I'm in the family of God as a child of God by faith in Christ, what do I have to look forward to? I've got an inheritance to look forward to. It's right there in verse 17. Notice what it says. Not only are we sons and children, and if children, verse 17, then... what's that next word? Okay, I just want to make sure. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Not only is the caring and the bearing, but it's also the sharing. Everything that God has, you know what He wants to do with it? He's going to share it with us. But it has to come in the right way. The same Spirit that brings us by the Spirit of adoption to the Father, and the same Spirit that bears witness that we're His children, is the same Spirit that's preparing us for all that we have to look forward to. In fact, the great thing is God has a will, and He also has a way. If somebody tells me they have a will, you know, the first thing I want to know is, am I in it? God has a will, and you can be in the will of God. In fact, once you accept Christ, you are. By birth, by adoption, He writes you right into His will. And His will is a perfect will. His will is to say that everything that Christ has, He's going to share it with everyone who comes to Him. In some of our travels, I've enjoyed some very nice privileges of getting to know people that have a lot of things, like boats. Never had a boat, never wanted a boat. But I'll tell you, if I wanted a boat, there's something that's better than owning your own boat. You know what they say? The best 2 days of a person's life is the day they get the boat, when they buy it, and the day they sell it. Okay? But there's something better than owning a boat, and that is having a best friend who has a boat. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to clean it. You don't have to keep it. You don't have to store it. You don't have to do anything with it. You don't even have to put the gas in it when it's $1.81 a gallon. But if your best friend has a boat and he says, listen, anytime I go, you go on with me, that's even better. And you think about what God the Father has given to the Son. By the way, He's not just given Him the world and the nations, but all the creation. We read about it. We won't talk about it tonight. But all the universe has been given to the Son of God as the one who is the very heir of God. The Father loved the Son, and He's given all things into His hands, even all judgment, that all might honor the Son even as they honor the Father. And then when I come to this verse and I found out that I'm an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ, that means that everything that God the Father has given to the Son, which is all things, that means the Son is going to share all those things with us. You know, that should change our life completely. It should change us so much that we walk different and we talk different, that we live different, that we follow differently, that we really live up to all the things that God has for us in His caring and His bearing, and the best is yet to come, even His sharing. In fact, He wants us to enjoy those blessings right now. You know, thinking of all the things we've been talking about tonight and even starting last night, don't you think that should control the way we take each step in our life? That we would walk in the Spirit and therefore not fulfill the lust of the flesh? Because the things this world has to offer, they're nothing compared to all that God has in store for those who believe in Him. And they're already at your disposal. All you have to do is receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Have you done that? If you haven't, why not? When would you do it? Well, now's the best time. Today's the best day. You can do it right where you're sitting. Even as I close in prayer in just a moment, you can put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Find out He's the one who cares the most for you. You become a son and daughter of God. You find out that He's the one that bears witness. The Spirit says in the last chapter of the Bible, come. And then find out when you come to Him, you come into all the good of everything He has, freely bestowed on all who believe. Won't you do that tonight? Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, as we bow in Your presence, we just want to pray now, Lord, that You would work a great work in some of the hearts and lives of the people who are here tonight. We thank You for the good weekend that we've been having and all the joy of being together and the things that we've experienced, the good food that we're enjoying and all the fellowship around the table, the singing, the work that's gone into this conference up to this point. Father, we just can't thank You enough. But most of all, we pray, Lord, that You would save souls tonight. We can't know each other's hearts, but we know that You do. And so we earnestly pray for those who are sitting on each side of us. Lord, they're not saved. Convict them of their sin, because we've all sinned. Convict them of righteousness, because there's none righteous except Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And He's at Your right hand. And convict them of judgment, because the ruler of this world, the devil, has already been judged, and judgment is sure to come. And by this threefold conviction, Lord, help them to realize the best thing they could ever do is to put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And the best time they could ever do it is right now. Father, as one preacher used to pray, save the soul that's nearest hell. I pray that tonight. Lord, give them the courage to speak up and to share it with one of us so that we can better pray for them and perhaps even equip them from Your Word. But ultimately, we thank You that it's the Spirit and His work, who brings people into the family of God by the spiritual rebirth of being born again, adopted, and becoming an heir and a joint heir with Christ of all that You have for them. We pray this in the great name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, if you've prayed that in your heart tonight, if you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior, let one of us know. We want to know so we can better pray for you. And if you haven't, if you still have questions, why not just take some time to sit down and to look in the Bible together and find out what you need to know in order to come to Christ. We'll turn the meeting back over to our brother Jim for any closing announcements.